Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
I am a bit embarrassed today because I feel that the whole team on this show have now seen me at my worst.
When was this?
On the train yesterday. We were coming back from Carlisle, back to Radio 1 in London. And I do enjoy a train journey with you lot, because we had our royal wedding top trumps.
That was good.
Which was we're playing for a while.
We even played that in the pub.
Yeah. Also, I enjoyed all the magazines that we got.
Oh, you got a lovely spread of magazines.
Thank you. I do.
You do glossy trash really well.
I pride myself on that because, you know, some people don't know what they're looking for in the newsagent. I really do. You've got your Nows, you've got your Bellas, you've got your Closer for a bit more highbrow.
There was something for everyone in that selection.
There was. I mean, I found out all about Josie and John James off of last year's Big Brother's Big Split. So it was great. That was all good. The thing is, I really wanted to sleep on the train. And I was resisting for ages because I just felt knackered. And the train was so hot.
We were sat right by the radiators.
And with the motion of the train and the intense heat, my head kept falling forward, like, but I kept resisting it. And eventually, I succumbed and I did fall asleep. Now, what's happened here, and this has never happened before in all the time we worked together, is that you've now seen my waking up face. And it's the same face that you do when you're about to do a really big sneeze when you fall asleep on a train. So I was asleep because it was like the heat was intense.
They needed a naked carriage on that train. It was
seriously
so hot.
I would have jumped straight in. If Coach D was a naked carriage, I'd have been like, yeah, let's hop on that.
And there's only so many clothes you can take off. Like, I'd already taken off two layers. I was looking at the one that doesn't speak. I was like, I can't do another one. He's just going to flip out.
And Carlisle and Cumbria were a balmy 15 degrees at one point yesterday, probably about 11. But in there, it was about 40. So eventually, I'm asleep. Then someone's phone rings. I think it was yours.
Yeah.
Let me reenact it. Look, you be the phone.
Ring, ring, ring. It was like that.
It's the same fate. It's the
you
same sneeze face.
You jolted.
Horrible. And I just feel that now you've seen me at my worst. So, sorry.
Not quite as bad as that girl who had to wake you up when you were naked that time. Was that the morning after the Brits?
Oh, yeah.
That was a bad experience.
Poor Lizzie, she left.
She saw more than your sneezing waking up face.
No, I was only wearing a shirt, but no.
Oh, that's not what I'd heard.
Just a shirt. But I was wearing a shirt, but nothing.
Oh, no.
Nothing on the
bottom.
Newsreader
style.
That's right. So, yeah, nothing on the bottom, just a shirt on the top. It was a long night.
Poor Lizzie.
She emigrated to Australia shortly
I know,
after
she
that.
She properly ran off.
No one's heard from her since.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
A few people on the text are wondering if waking up on the train face is the same as massage face. Well, let me show you the difference here. Wherever you are now, do the face when you've just been woken up suddenly on a train. Simon, you do it. That's it. That's it. You right, Tulip?
Yeah.
Okay. So once again, wake up on the train face. That kind of, it's like the big sneeze face. Now, imagine that you're having a really lovely massage, a really nice, relaxing massage. Do that face. Oh, God, Simon. Oh, my word.
I could have imagined that. I didn't need to see it.
Oh. But as you can see, and I think we've just demonstrated in the room here, Tulip, Becky, one that doesn't speak, Simon's massage face is completely different to his waking up on the train face. Totally different faces they are. But neither of which you should really ever show your work colleagues. Hi, Dale.
Hello.
You right?
Yeah, not too bad, yeah.
Have you got have you done the waking up face suddenly?
I did do the waking up face.
It's not good, is it? Yeah, you don't want people to see that.
In my situation, it was all dark when I woke up.
Right, it was dark when you woke up. Where were you?
I was in the cinema.
Okay.
I'd been out with my brother-in-law. And admittedly, we'd had a couple of beers and all the rest of it. We went to see the Blair Witch Project, which I found incredibly boring. Mm. and must have drifted off. Bit of snuggling went on. It was all very comfortable.
Who, with your brother?
No, my brother-in-law.
Oh, right. That's fine.
And, yeah, a bit of snuggling was going on. Oh, yeah, no, that's nice. And eventually woke up at the end of the film, and I'd been on the woman next to me. I'd fallen asleep in her lap.
Oh, I love it how she didn't mind and or wake you up.
Well, no, that was the thing that we talked about afterwards, was the fact that she hadn't woken me up, and obviously, like, probably she'd enjoyed it, I don't know. But it was all very bizarre, yeah. Especially when I woke up afterwards and realised that, you know, like, you sort of, like, settle in a bit. Oh, yeah, that's nice. And a little bit of an adjustment, so to speak. And, yeah. I've been asleep for however long, about an hour and a half, on her lap.
What did you say to her when, because that's a bit uncomfortable.
I said thank you. That was the only thing I could say. I was trying to be polite.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thanks for that. Yeah.
Was she stroking your hair?
I don't know. I mean, it was all very pleasant at the time. I didn't know her from Adam.
Do you know what happened as well? At some point, when you were getting comfy, you did something worse than the waking up suddenly face. You probably went,
Well, yeah, no, but also I think I'd, like, reached, sort of put my arm across and grabbed the leg and sort of thing, and, like, really snuggled in,
you know?
Got well comfy.
Excellent. Well, that's I feel better now about my waking up face. Love you!
Yeah, well, yeah, love you too, mate.
And thank you.
All right, buddy, take
Scott
care.
Scott Mills. BBC. Radio 1.
Oh, we should have asked him what cinema, just to make sure we never go. Good job that it wasn't Blair Witch 2, which is the worst film I've ever seen.
Is it?
Oh, my God, have you not seen that film?
I've never seen Blair Witch.
What?
Don't say what to me. There's loads of films you haven't seen.
Yeah. No, Blair Witch, the first one, incredible.
Is it?
The second one. I think the people who made it on a really kind of small budget and made the first one really well sold out to, like, some big movie producers, and they just made this awful second one. Like, seriously, I think to date the worst film I've seen. I haven't seen that many, but it's pretty bad.
Out of that and The Lion King, that's bad.
That's bad. Yeah. How cool was Katie B yesterday at the school in Carlisle? Really good. When she performed, she managed to get the whole of my assembly up on their feet, even though you could see people kind of getting off their chair like this. Is this allowed, an assembly? She was like, come on, stand up, jump around, sing along. And all the kids were like, yeah, but this is assembly. But eventually, they did it. And then, at the end, everyone sat down. She was like, thanks very much, I've been Katie B. Everyone sat down like that and kind of realised that they were still in assembly.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
Good morning, Ellie.
Morning, Scott.
Morning, Mr. Mills, actually.
Morning, Mr. Ball.
Thank you. Just got used to it after the school thing yesterday, you know?
Sorry.
No, don't apologise. It's fine, you weren't to know.
It just sounds a bit weird when you're not in school.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Shall I just drop that now?
Yeah.
What's going on, Ellie?
Well, I went to the cinema once to watch Batman. I was bored.
Batman what?
I don't know.
Batman something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously. With the boyfriend. Fell asleep, woke up, he'd moved seats, so that was a very confusing wake up.
Oh no, so you had the wake up suddenly thing we've been talking about.
Up, where am I?
Yeah, where are you? But also your boyfriend had moved seats.
Yeah, he thought it would be funny.
Not that funny, is it? That's a very confusing wake up right there.
It is, so I think your train wake up, not so bad.
Love you, Ellie.
Love you.
I hate falling asleep when... I used to do this a lot when I was doing the early show. So I'd go to the cinema, and it was a film I really wanted to see. And then I'd fall asleep, and whoever I was with would wake me up during the end credits. It used to really annoy me. And I used to take it out on them. Why didn't you wake me up before? Why? Well, that's brilliant. I haven't seen the end now, have I? Well, thanks a lot.
I do that embarrassing thing where my mouth falls open. Have I ever told you the time about when I went on the French trip?
What?
And I was asleep on the coach, because obviously we've been travelling for, like, ages. And I, when I fall asleep, my mouth just, like, completely falls open.
Oh, nice.
And I woke up and someone had filled me with Pringles. So, I mean, it's not advisable, but I woke up, and they'd obviously tried to see how many they could stack in my mouth. So when I woke up, not only did I do that jolt, but I was in a massive crunch. And then I was like, this insane thing of salt and vinegar in my mouth, and everyone just, like...
Oh, it wasn't even good. Cheese and chive.
No.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Now, as informative as Tulip Mzunda is on the news, she does miss out a whole section of fairly important news from the newspapers because she hasn't got time to do it all, you know? So what Smooth Talking Dan does is he goes through all the newspapers when he gets in the morning for me and gives me a list of what's going on in the world today, in the world of showbiz. But what he does... Well, you don't really put much detail on the paper, do you? You just put the headline.
Yeah.
And then I need you to explain what the rest of it is. For instance, what's this? Minaj attacks.
Right, this one is... I don't understand why it is given that headline at all. Because the story is, an interesting story, Nicki Minaj dreams about Simon Cowell every night.
Okay.
But I don't know
about
why.
Attacking him?
No, I don't think so. But she's getting really into Simon Cowell.
Every night?
She
come
met
on.
Him and she dreams about him nightly. But I don't understand the attacks part. But I just copied and pasted the headline.
I'm trying to work out if it's a bad pun, but I don't think it is.
Minaj attacks.
Minaj.
It's like the film Mars Attacks.
But Minaj?
Hmm.
Good.
No, that's not working for me, that one.
Okay.
Clever cures for a crinkly cleavage.
First of all, happy National Cleavage Day, Scott.
Oh, thank you very much. Mine are coming on nicely.
Happy National Cleavage Day, Becky.
Thanks, Smooth Talking Dan.
Women up and down the country are being encouraged to enhance their assets and be big and bold about it. But this does include those with a crinkly cleavage. Because it can be a problem.
It can.
I found. I think it was the Mail that gave a list of crinkly cleavage cures, including creams, obviously, Botox, and lasers.
I've never seen, I mean, and I'm quite into my creams and potions and stuff. I mean, I've got a small branch of Boots in my bathroom. I've never bought or seen on sale a cream for a crinkly cleavage.
Well, you don't need to buy a cream, just get down Laser Quest.
However, I tell you what I did find in my bathroom the other day, which is not mine. Some double chin cream.
No, that doesn't exist.
And I know, because I remember about 2 years ago, my flatmate thought he had a double chin, so bought some cream to sort it out. And you just rub it on, and apparently, double chin disappears.
Well, it dissolves it. No, it doesn't.
I said this as well. I was like, don't be ridiculous. You can't get rid of that. Like,
just tape it up.
I bet you have tried it out, though, surely.
What are you saying? No, I haven't. Okay. Anyway...
Just wear a nice bonnet if you get
it. Sorry, I need to go back to that. Let's rewind. Did you say tape it up?
Yeah, because if you push it in, like when you're looking at your double chin in the mirror, if you like push it in, it goes away.
Well, who
so
does that?
So just a little bit of tape, I reckon, and then you could just tape it up. Disguise it as a bonnet.
Wouldn't that be drawing attention to it a bit if you've got tape?
You've got tape around your whole face. Maybe I shouldn't have said that about the double chin cream. I think he might be listening this morning. Morning. Next, Bex won't name his daughter after Bulldog.
Yeah. So Posh wants to call her daughter Coco, but that's the name of their big-bellied bulldog. And Bex refuses to name their new daughter
after
a dog. So it's a bit of a clash in the Beckham household over that one.
Did someone nick Snoop Dogg's baseball cap?
Yeah, he's been spotted out and about wearing a shower cap. I've seen the photo. He's also apparently been making music with Charlie Sheen, so I don't know if the two are connected, but...
Right.
A bit of an odd one there, Snoop.
Okay. So he's been spotted wearing a shower cap.
Because he always wears, or generally, baseball caps.
Yeah, but not a shower cap.
Yeah, exactly, that's why it's odd.
What he's done is what a lot of us have done before. When you've stayed at a nice hotel, you think, yep, I'm going to have that shower cap. Have you ever done that?
I've got a variety of shower caps. Because you've never worn it out in public, have you?
Well, no, but I mean, you could. And, you know, if you're paying for the room, then the shower cap is complimentary, so I don't feel wrong for taking them. But I just wouldn't wear them out in public, necessarily.
If you do that, you might get into the Showbiz Sleaze news.
That's right. A Depp too far, Alex.
Alex Reed thinks he can be the next Johnny Depp.
Oh, right, OK, I'm not even interested. Next. Justin is our hero.
You know, remember when Justin Bieber chopped off his floppy hair?
Yeah.
That hair is now touring America with its own bodyguard.
What?
He chopped it off and gave it away for charity, which is nice, and now it's on its own tour.
Right, so... And it's got tour dates? Can we find out, like, when it's going to be in Manchester? Okay.
Have you considered doing the same with yours?
No.
No.
I haven't got enough of it. So, Okay, well, I look forward to the Justin Bieber hair tour. Mm. Brit hits fan.
This is Britney Spears. She filmed a Jackass stunt where she's flung into the air in a portable loo.
Is that it?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a story. She's flung into the air in a portable loo.
But where's the bit about hitting the fan?
Isn't a fan like another name for a toilet? Oh, no, it's a pan.
I now understand.
I don't know. I get confused.
I understand the headline now.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't, obviously.
Okay, I'll say it once more and then leave it. Brit hits fan. Okay,
I'm
next.
I'm still not getting it. Oh, okay, yes, I get it
Brit
now.
Hits fan, yeah.
Don't say it, Dan. When you get it, don't say it.
I don't...
Hits fan.
Fan. Okay.
When something bad happens, let's move on.
Dame Helen is a knockout.
Helen Mirren has been taught how to box by Evander Holyfield. Obviously. Yeah. It's for a new film, Arthur. She gets to punch Russell Brand in the face.
Cool. Keith Teeth Teeth. No. Keith... This is hard.
Mm.
Keith Teeth Thief.
This is Keith Allen. Off of Lily Allen.
Dad.
Apparently he's got trademark gold teeth. But one of them's been stolen.
What, while he was sleeping?
While he was filming a new drama. You'd have thought she'd notice, but...
Oh, he's done that thing, where, like we were saying earlier, where he's fallen asleep with his mouth open, so he's like, yes, that's gold, I'll have that. Cash for gold. See, because if you watch those daytime TV adverts, this on at every break. Like, Alan Titchmarsh yesterday, it was on, like, every advert break, so... You can see what they've done there. Watching too much Alan Titchmarsh, you see Keith Allen asleep, and you think, cash
well,
for gold.
In these hard-up times...
Yeah, exactly.
Keep your mouth closed.
And UFOs at royal wedding.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a hard news story, but apparently UFOs are more common around important events, and they're likely to be watching during the big bash, the big wedding.
Okay, what, so aliens are more likely to be around during the wedding?
Yeah. That was in the papers. Or a paper.
Cool. And there we are. See, now you're up to date. That's Smooth Talking Dan's Showbiz Sleaze. Amazing, as always. Thank you, Dan. Now, did anyone see the Great British Food Revival last night?
Oh, yeah, I like that programme.
Ainsley Harriott was on.
Yeah, and he was doing British Honey.
That's right. Now, my flatmate is the biggest fan of Ainsley Harriott.
I had to translate Ainsley Harriott for my boyfriend last night because, you know, he's got all those, like, little quirky phrases and stuff that he says.
Has he?
Yeah, and he's got, like, a really kind of... He uses, like, really funny words sometimes to
he's
kind
flamboyant,
of...
He's flamboyant, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And he was like, plop this in here and do this. And my boyfriend was like, I'm sorry, what's he doing with his fig tart?
Yeah. Anyway,
I was like, it's just Ainsley. Just go with the flow.
My flatmate is such a big fan. He's even got, like, Ainsley Harriott T-shirts.
Has he?
Yeah, he's huge, huge fan. And, Ainsley was saying last night that we should all start keeping bees. Just get like a beehive in the garden, if you've got a garden. I've got like a patio area, low maintenance, don't have to do gardening. But I mean, it would fit, and I'm kind of coming around to the idea because A, you get honey. B, you get to wear those quite cool suits that beekeepers wear.
I can imagine you're one of them.
And C... Which is the most valid reason, I think, keeps the burglars away.
What, you're getting them so that they can be your guard bees?
Yeah. Apparently, Ainsley says it was a very rewarding experience.
Did Did he suggest them for home security?
No, but we were just saying that it would be an added extra. No burglar's going to come around my front door or back door if they know there's going to be a swarm of bees going after them. Imagine that. Right, it's like from a cartoon with them like running away with their hands out in front of them with a swarm of bees following them.
Does it work like that?
Probably with my TV under one arm.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then I could get a sign on my back door saying beware of the bees. I thought about this too much, maybe, but where do you get beehives from?
I don't know. Internet Sam, who works here, used to have bees.
Did he?
I think he catch, like, bees that were kind of, what is it, about to go extinct in a tube. You can get, like, special bee, like, tubes, I think. And he had them. I don't think they did any honey for him, though.
It's quite simple. You just Google buy a beehive. It's right there. Have I done too many early shifts, Tulip, or do you think me getting bees is actually a good idea?
Pet bees?
Yes.
Where would you keep those?
In the back patio area.
Right.
Obviously, I'm doing it as like home security, but obviously they won't protect me in the winter. I just want a sign up saying beware of the bees. That's what I'm doing it for.
You'd need to get one of those white bee outfits and those.
Yeah, no,
marks.
That's what I want as well. That's why I'm all about the outfit.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
That will look nice.
Yeah. Radio 1 Podcast. So we were talking last week on this show about that ad that's on TV a lot at the moment for the uniform dating website. Have you seen that?
Yes.
People who wear uniforms for their job can find love with other people who wear uniforms. But then the little twist is it can also be for people who just like people in uniforms. So it's like, oh, I fancy dating a nurse. You can on the uniform dating website. Now, here's the thing. If I get bees, I get a beekeeper uniform, I can find love. If you are a beekeeper and you're listening this morning, can you let me know, do you find that wearing your beekeeper's outfit tends to make you more popular with people? Do you get more dates out of that? Also, doesn't that big mask thing get in the way a little bit? Surely that would put people off. So that's what I'm going to do. Get some nice honey. Also keep burglars away, apart from in the winter, obviously. And then I can find love with maybe a nurse or a fireman. Brilliant. Lady Gaga has sent a message to us, the fans, the monsters, from her toilet. And I'm going to play that for you now. She couldn't wait to tell you how excited she was about Big Weekend. So what she did was she multitasked. Because it is good being able to do two things at the same time, isn't it?
What, talk whilst on the loo?
Yeah. So, and she's managed it. Here she is.
Hi, everyone. This is Lady Gaga. I'm so excited for BBC Radio 1's Big Weekend in Carlisle. I've been planning and rehearsing for so many months now. And after 2 years of working on my new album, I'll finally get to do a great big performance in the UK. This album is a mixture of metal, pop, techno rock, dance music. I recorded many of the songs, including Born This Way, at the famous Abbey Road in the United Kingdom. So I'm so excited to sing and dance and share all of my new songwriting with you. I'm mostly excited for BBC Radio 1's weekend because I can't wait to see all of the monsters in the UK. I have spent so many nights after the Monster Ball being inspired by them to write this new album, and I finally get to share all of these new beats and new lyrics with them. Expect a monster avant-garde pop fantasia. This event is so important to me because BBC Radio 1 was one of the first stations to really support my artistry and my music, and I get to come back and enjoy this moment with all of you. Thank you so much for all of your love and support and for always believing in me as an artist. I can't wait to see you. Pause up, BBC Radio 1.
And there we are. Lady Gaga there, everyone.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I did enjoy Lady Gaga's message a lot, and so did other people. It did sound a bit like she was doing an assignment for our show and tell feature, which I quite like. Or even like the Queen's Speech, which I think they should maybe have Lady Gaga on doing one as well. Like, imagine every Christmas Day, just after Top of the Pops. Hi, Lady Gaga here. Merry Christmas. It's 8:23. So, at the Big Weekend, Foo Fighters, Lady Gaga, Bruno Mars, Jessie J, Tiny Temper, Black Eyed Peas, just some of the acts performing. The website's pretty busy right now. We're hearing that 300 people per minute...
A second.
A second?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
300 people a second are trying to get tickets.
Mm.
Don't rush. You've got all week, everybody. You've got a week to get online and register, and it's not first come, first served. bbc.co.uk/radio1. Yeah, so Black Eyed Peas are on. One of the most interesting moments, I thought, from the show at the school yesterday in Carlisle when we announced the big weekend was when Mr. McArdle, one of the teachers, did a poem for us. And just the uncomfortable looks on the faces of some of the students sat in front of him as he was correcting Will.i.am's grammar.
I got a feeling. It should be I have got a feeling. By the Black Eyed Peas, written by William.
Will.i.am.
W-I-L-L-I-M-A-A-M spells William. OK. I have got a feeling that tonight is going to be a good night. That tonight is going to be a good night. That tonight is going to be a good night.
So he carried on correcting the grammar of I Got a Feeling by Black Eyed Peas. But this is the most uncomfortable bit. Imagine if this was one of your teachers in school. They're on the stage. You're in front of them watching. They've never done anything like this before. And this happens.
Let us do it and 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 do it.
No, sir.
And do it and live it up. And do it, 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 and do it, and do it.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast. Podcast.
This lot are playing Big Weekend. It's My Chemical Romance. Oh, thanks a lot, Nicola and Barnett. Thanks a lot. She's like, I hear this song and I just think of Roxette singing it. And now you've mentioned that, it is a little bit Roxette. I'm sure they'll be really pleased with that. You can hear My Chemical Romance in the live lounge with Fern this morning from 10 o'clock. What cover are they going to do, though? I'll give you 10 Scott Mills points if you get it right. When you're listening to them later on, and they do the cover version that you said, 10 SMPs.
I am going to go now with Roxette, and it
must have been love. That would be a good one, because they do sound similar.
Play a whisper.
On my pillow.
It'd be brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Tulip?
J-Lo's new track, the Lombarda song.
J-Lo? What, on the floor?
Yep.
Okay. Simon?
It's a bit left field, but I'm going to go for Club Tropicana.
By Wham.
By Wham.
Okay, good. I'm going for Sweet Dreams, My LAX by Rachel Stevens. Wouldn't it be good if they did this one? Lion Sleeps Tonight. It's just the second time we've played a bit of this song in the last week.
It takes ages to start, doesn't it?
If they do this today in the live lounge, I will give you 50 Scott Mills points. Someone on the text just suggested this. I'm trying to find your name. You can have 50 if this happens this morning.
Neil in Maidstone.
Neil. That's a lot of points to rack up. I'm not sure it's that likely. I can kind of hear them doing it though, especially this bit.
I think it's more Mumford and Sons though, isn't it, this?
Also, I said that it was Panic at the Disco in Live Lounge. It's not. It's My Chemical Romance.
Are you okay today?
Overtired.
Yeah.
And now, Dear Scott, with the Posh Radio 4 lady reading out your emails. got something to say? scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. That's my email address. Why not use it?
Morning all. I'm going to a fake prom event in a couple of weeks, and I thought since Scott was a fancy dress expert, he could give me some advice on what I should wear. It's basically a prom theme, but with a twist. High five, Tiffany.
High five. I'm not aware that I'm a fancy dress expert. I just have a couple of outfits in my closet.
You've got quite a few, haven't you?
I've got caveman.
You've got...
Caveman?
Yeah. I've got big bad wolf.
You've got old woman.
Have I?
Yeah, you have. You and your housemate dressed up as those two old ladies, and then I put the picture on the website.
Oh, my Subo dress.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got that.
Have you ever been to a fancy dress party in a prom outfit?
No, I am mostly dressed as a woman, though.
Is it... What do you mean? A fancy dress party in a prom... Or is it a prom in a fancy dress outfit?
No, it's a fancy dress party, the theme of a prom. I assume, like, Greece or something. You know, like old school kind of prom wear. But I'm thinking, go a little bit kind of avant-garde. And maybe you could wear some sort of food dress.
Maybe you could wear the fish dress as seen on Louis Spence's Show Business the other day.
Yes, I was thinking Gaga Bacon, but you've topped that with some... Yeah. Fish.
We're talking about this the other day. There's a guy on there called Colin, who's a showbiz agent for some big stars, Carol from Big Brother, and he's got a new singer called Scarletta, and he's trying to go one bigger than Lady Gaga with her meat dress.
That's a lovely bit of sea bass there. Look at that, look. Perfect bit of sea bass. Fits her perfectly. Look, she's going to add that as a necklace, or probably round as a waistband, or probably hanging from a towel. Turn around, show him the towel. Look, what a towel on that one.
That's Colin, the showbiz agent, and his new singer, Scarletta, at a fish market where they're buying some sea bass to make a fish dress.
She'd be the catch of the day.
Yeah.
Well, there's a fish market joke for you there, everybody.
She'd be the catch of the day.
Yeah.
Scarletta got the fish dress to try and impress lots of record company executives, lots of people from the music industry who came to see, like, a showcase that she did where she did some of her new songs. But it didn't go that well.
Well, no one from the industry turned up, but the belt was a success tonight.
Did I would have gone just to see her outfit.
It must have stank in there.
Things about a fish dress is that you're never going to pull wearing fish.
No, you're really not.
Well, no, isn't it in the rules of that game book that you talk about that you should wear something... Isn't it part of your peacock theory where you should wear something ridiculous?
No, it's sombrero, not fish dress.
I thought it just said something ridiculous that would make you stand out.
No, but you've got to seem remotely appealing, and wearing fish isn't going to help that, is it?
No one wants a girl that smells of fish.
Okay, so what should she wear?
I don't know what she should wear if she wants to pull. I don't understand girls like that.
Girls that want to pull? Boyfriends?
But no, I just don't understand the whole... I don't understand the whole process of choosing different clothes for different occasions.
What do you like girls to wear?
Do you actually notice what girls wear?
Personally, no. This is what I'm saying. This is what I don't get about girls when they get ready to go out. But what I would say is, if you're a girl and you're going on a date, don't wear fish.
Next!
Hi, Scott. My mates, for a laugh, ordered a pizza online. On the order form, it asks for any other information, i.e. top buzzer, etc. So they decided to write, draw a wizard on the box. Lo and behold, the pizza turned up later with a wizard drawn on the box.
Amazing!
I find it hilarious. CJ, East Kilbride, Glasgow.
I do like the special instructions that you get.
That's a really good idea, isn't it?
Really good.
I'm just wondering what else you can get them to do with the special instructions. Because it's not just stuff that gets done on the pizza box. You can get them to say what, you know, when you turn up at the front door, sing a song.
I'd quite like it to, if they said something special when they knocked on the door.
Yeah.
I'd quite like it to be, you want a pizza, me?
Yes, exactly.
Right,
yes.
Britney Spears there.
Can we get a pizza ordered to here to try this out?
It's never too early for pizza when you're doing this show.
No.
I could do one at 5:30.
No one orders pizza. I think they like shut at 2:00 and then open it again at 11:00.
Well, that's
stupid.
They should rubbish. Like someone's missing out there because I would order pizzas all the time at 7 a.m.
pizza.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. Yeah, I quite like having pizza for breakfast.
Would you still have the normal toppings or would you want like?
No.
You can't
no.
do have pepperoni you... at like 6:00 in the morning.
You can.
Do you never wake up and have cold pizza?
Yeah, all the time.
No.
Oh,
I've eaten it all the night before.
Loads of people do this.
No, I'm sorry. Who has leftover pizza?
Loads of people do it.
Do you have to order an extra one so you've got some spare?
No, it's from last night and you keep it and eat it cold for breakfast.
How can you do that?
I do that every time.
What's the point in saving it?
I can't believe you haven't... Have you ever had cold pizza?
No.
What?
Unbelievable. You haven't lived.
And next.
Hello. I am the poor misfortunate soul who uttered the words man up, Mills. And now it is actually haunting me. The song this morning was a personal low.
Mm. Oh, this is the lady that... it was only one conversation we had and she just said...
Man up, Mills!
Oh, this was ages ago because you hadn't... There was this weird type of green vegetable that you'd never seen before.
Oh, yeah, that weird broccoli stuff.
It's like a lime green and it looks like a really scary alien.
We had it at our house. My flatmate cooked it and it does look like a dinosaur. And that lady just rang up and went... Well, just eat it and man up, Mills. And it's haunted her ever since. That was about 6 months ago.
However, I am a silver lining kind of gal and thought I'd ask if I can hit you up for royalties for that song.
Man up, Mills.
Winking smiley, obviously joking.
Man up, Mills.
Or failing that, maybe some kind of cool Radio 1 freebie.
Man.
Not joking.
Man up.
There's no need to feel down, I said.
Man up.
Something fabulous, perhaps. It just seems fair, winking smiley. Ta Muchley Mills, loving your work. Nikki, X.
Thanks, Nikki.
Man up, Mills.
We don't really do freebies at Radio 1 anymore, do we? I think she's after, like, a badge or some stickers.
Just give her some points.
Have 10 Scott Mills points. There we are.
That's not the same as a car sticker or a little fluffy bug, is it?
I think Radio 1 phased them out in the 90s.
You sometimes get T-shirts. If you go to Big Weekend, you can buy, like, Radio 1 T-shirts. But you could have a signed picture of you.
Aren't we going to launch our own sticker book soon anyway?
Yes.
Inspired by the Roy Wedding one.
Yes, we need to get onto this. And maybe Nikki can have one of them when we've got it published.
Maybe we'll send a few stickers to you.
Have we worked out whether they're going to be self-adhesive or whether you have to have your own Pritt stick? Because there was some talk of we'd send out just bits of paper and people would have to glue their own ones in.
I think if you're not going to do self-adhesive, then you might as well not bother.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Yeah, but it's there's a lot of money probably involved in creating all this. It would be cheaper for people to print out their own and stick them in. Sorry, but I just think that's going to have to be done that way.
But you can be in charge of the glues.
Okay.
You can be in charge of the glues and all that.
Thank you.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So we're just talking about somebody on Dear Scott who ordered delivery pizza online. And you know the box where it says, any special instructions? And normally you put... Mine's the black door on the left, or mine's the third buzzer down. They put, draw a wizard on the box, and sure enough, there was a wizard on the box. They were true to their word about the special instructions. Hey, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Weird. Where are you?
I'm in Swindon.
Swindon, yeah?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
On my birthday last year, we ordered a pizza, and in the special instructions box, we put the delivery person to sing happy birthday.
Right.
And when he turned up at the door, there's 10 of us stood there. And to his embarrassment, he sang happy birthday.
You see, it works on the special instructions. So you were all, like, stood at the door, opened the door and went, yeah, come on then.
Yeah.
Nice.
We all stood laughing.
Did he do the full rendition, like the whole song, or just get, like, verse and chorus and that was it?
Yeah, he missed the name out, but...
Yeah, but it's the fault, though, isn't it? Happy birthday, whoever you are. Did he say your name?
No, you missed that bit out.
Oh, well,
it was good then.
It's still good, though. Love you.
Love you too.
Fern Cotton. She's got My Chemical Romance. You can hear them in the live lounge. We were taking bets earlier on what their cover version would be. And I'm still going for Sweet Dreams, My LAX by Rachel Stevens. It's a banger, that. And actually, one of those tunes that... was amazing at the time, but you've kind of forgotten about. Think about how good that song actually is. I would love to hear My Chemical Romance do that. Are we finding it now? Amazing. Greg James at 1 o'clock, and then Nick Grimshaw with his chat show between 4 and 7. It is today. There's loads of people on. So he's got Vanessa Hudgens in the studio. Grimshaw will love that. And also McFly will be in as well. That's 4 till 7 with Grimmy on BBC Radio 1. And then Zane will have who is on the BBC introducing stage at Radio 1's Big Weekend in Carlisle tonight from 7 o'clock. Oh, you can't play it from the beginning. You've got to get to... Don't bore us, get to the chorus. My Chemical Romance doing this forgotten classic in the live lounge today. Who knew? Anyone see those pictures of S Club 7 in the paper the other day? They've kind of, I think they were all at John, the little one's first performance in the West End of Jersey Boys. Wow. Come on! Kirsteen Spalding says, this is weird. I had this song in my head all day yesterday. Out of any song in the world, Kirsty, why was this in your head? Don't deny it, it's a tune.
Scott Mills.
So, Becky's here.
Hi.
And Chris is here.
Hello.
And that means it's time for some more Dear Scott. The PR4L reading out the stuff that really matters from you this week.
Just heard the Dear Scott and thought I'd tell you that I read a while ago that there's a drive-through Boots, the chemist, in Colchester. And they're going to build more. Liam, off of Southampton.
Oh, I love drive-throughs. That is such a good idea.
This is amazing, wasn't it? Ages ago, we were talking about... I was talking about drive-through off-licences in Australia.
Yep.
Where you drive through and pick up your beer and then just drive out again. And there was a drive-through KFC. And there's a drive-through Starbucks in Cardiff, I think.
Yes, there is. I spotted that.
Yeah.
It's like you can buy beer in petrol stations in America. I always thought that was a bit weird.
But actually driving through, I was like, this is an accident waiting to happen, especially with my, like, driving skills. When you see all these wine bottles either side and you're, like, really trying to carefully negotiate between. I have problems enough in the supermarket, let alone driving a car through there.
You don't want to knock over the wines and all that, do you?
No.
I had a bit of a nasty experience at a drive-thru about a month ago.
What happened?
Have I not told you about this? No. About the Mackie D's in Southampton?
No.
Right, so I queued up... And paid for the food.
Oh, you didn't overshoot, did you?
No, the car in front took my food. So basically had a freebie. So obviously they were quite crafty with it. What they obviously did is went to the window, didn't make an order, and then just nabbed my food and I paid for it.
So how does that work? You've gone to the window to pay.
Yeah.
And then you've got to drive onto the other window to get your food.
Yeah, exactly.
So you pay at the first window.
Yeah.
The people in front have nicked your food.
Yeah.
At the next window.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is cheeky.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
I've done the thing before where, like, I drive too far and then I have to shout back at the thing, hello, and I'm too far away.
Can you not reverse?
No, because you'd have a car behind.
No, because there's a car behind by then. It's really stressful.
And what happens in the second window? Because it's always closed at my one.
It's true.
You know,
true,
there's always actually a window that's completely closed. I'm like, what's the point of this window?
That's true.
Like, you drive through the first one, you give your order, and they say, carry on to window three. I'm like, well, what happens at window two?
Window two is never open.
What goes on there, then?
Well, I don't know. I couldn't even work out at any point in the procedure what you'd need to do between ordering, paying, and then getting your actual food.
Yeah.
Maybe a quick hand wash or something.
That's not funny.
Where did that come from?
That's what they need to do at window two, because it's redundant at the moment.
It is.
So order your food, window one. Window two, you just put your arms out the car, they just wipe you down.
Quick wash and dry.
Yeah, and then window three, you're good to go. Next!
Dear Scott, subject, is your mate Chris really Matt Morgan in disguise? Listening back to some recent Russell Brand podcasts, I couldn't help but notice that Russell's friend Matt, who helps out on the show, is in fact your friend Chris. Could it be possible that Chris is not jobless at all, and in fact moonlights on various radio shows? I think you'll agree the comparison is uncanny, and it's clearly Chris on the podcasts. Paul, off of Morton, near Bourne.
Are you going on other shows pretending to be someone else?
Honestly, no. Matt Morgan, the name rings a bell, but I don't know what he sounds like. And
like
I don't
you
know what he looks like.
Sounds like you.
Not really? Looks like you. He doesn't look like you.
Weren't you George Lamb's side piece?
No, I was not George Lamb's side piece, as you put it.
I thought you were.
I did a little bit of work on George Lamb's show.
And what did you have to do on that?
I basically had to go get his breakfast every day. I had a good time on that. That was at Six Music. That was good fun, that.
But you didn't get on air.
Well, he found a nickname for me and then he used to...
Oh, what was that?
He called me Rabbit.
That's better than Adult Baby, isn't it?
Why did he call you Rabbit?
It's actually slightly more friendly than Adult Baby. What was Rabbit about? Yeah, well, it was a really tedious link, actually, because my name's Chris Stark, and then he went Starkey, and then it went Starsky, and then it went Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, rubbish.
And then it went from Hutch to Rabbit. And they
did he do this as a whole feature on
it? Oh, it was about 4 weeks' worth.
So you've done Scott, and you've done George Lamb.
Show and show.
Who would you most like to sidekick for in future?
I mean, I'd love to get involved in Radio 4 a bit.
Mm. I think he'd be brilliant on Woman's Hour.
Yes.
What's that then?
It's an hour.
What do you
for
think
women.
It is?
It's like Radio 4's version of Loose Women, the same.
Oh, okay.
You'd be ace on that.
I'd be awful, surely. Do you know what I'd really like to do? The shipping forecast.
Yes!
I'd love to have a go on that, even if it's just a couple of lines.
Fish guard, windy, 5 knots. What's that? What does it all mean?
I'd love to have a go on that.
If you've not heard the shipping forecast on Radio 4, it's the most relaxing thing you can ever listen to on the radio. It's on like midnight, and I don't even understand it. It's for shipping people.
Oh no, it makes no sense at all. But no. If you're trying to get to sleep,
it's amazing.
It's one of the most important things for fishermen, I think.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's like really important in their day-to-day life.
5 knots, blowing southwesterly.
They're always listening to it on Trawlermen.
I'd love to just do a couple of lines on there. That'd be amazing.
I reckon the posh Radio 4 lady who does the shipping forecast quite a lot.
Yeah,
could sneak you in one night. One night when it's late at Radio 4, the bosses won't be listening, just sneak you in. Alright, here's a shipping forecast.
Yeah. I'd love to do something a bit more highbrow than what I've done.
Are you saying that we're not highbrow?
We do loads of, like, intelligent stuff and that.
Yeah. Like what?
Like,
we do loads of well good stuff, intelligent stuff and
do
that.
Do, like, word disassociation.
Yeah, that's intelligent.
And, what's the other one we took from Radio 4? The one with the songs?
Oh, yeah, the mashing up the hits. Yeah.
Yeah.
You did steal that from Radio 4.
Yeah.
Good point. Your show's not highbrow. Are you seriously saying you're highbrow? I suppose you do the lottery, actually, don't you?
That's highbrow.
It's quite highbrow. You wear a suit and you've got a real... There's a real classy audience you go along to that.
All right, let's... OK, next.
Dear Scott, I really hit Becky, a.k.a. Ting Tong Macading Dang.
What's the...
It's been so long since I've been called that. Ting Tong Macading Dang, anyway. Get it right.
Is this abuse? What's that?
Is this actual hate mail?
She is really stupid and has a very annoying voice and is far too full of herself, and I think that secretly she thinks your show is more hers than yours. I hope you can read this, as you never read my emails out.
I wonder why.
Could you get me to play Word Disassociation?
No.
Because I would destroy Becky. From Peter, studying biology at Kingston Uni, living in Wimbledon. P.S. My nickname is Chief.
Oh, good.
Good for you. What a lovely letter.
Wow, really nice. Thanks for your email. That does show you, though, that there is absolutely no quality control here on Dear Scott. We'll read out anything from any old random like that, even abuse.
Thanks, Chief. Scott Mills. This is
BBC. BBC Radio 1. Also, there's loads of people saying that window 2 at the drive-thru used to be for condiments and your sauces and all that, but now, redundant. And now you get all the sauces and straws and stuff at window 1. Oh, sorry, in the window 3 when you pick up your food. So what are they doing with all the windows 2s?
Brick it up, I say. Radio 1
Podcasts. Podcast. Good idea, Dean, on the text. What about window 2 at the drive-thru? Has a lady in it, off of Amsterdam. That's a great idea. Just put a different colour bulb in.
I don't know if I want that when I'm waiting for my nuggets.
I think it might cause a couple of crashes as well.
I want Mini Dick and Dom. Have you seen them? They're amazing.
What, in window 2 of the drive-thru?
Yeah.
Well, that's
Diddy
weird.
Dick and Dom.
Also, Chief, says someone. This is, who is it?
Well, let's call him Chief, because that's his nickname.
Oh, is that his nickname? What,
yeah.
Does he give it to himself?
Oh, no, this is the guy in the Dear Scott who said, P.S., my nickname is Chief. I don't know who texted in talking about him.
All right. No, is someone saying that, do you think he gave it his own, like his own nickname there? Like, he's saying that my name is Chief. Because you should surely be given a nickname. You don't invent your own, do you?
No.
That's not right. We've talked about this before.
It's like when I was at school and people used to call me Huxley Pig and I didn't really like it. And
no,
I kept
but you didn't invent that yourself.
No, I didn't. They used to call me that. But then I used to think, oh, I wish I could think of a better one and get them to call me that, but
no,
they didn't.
It doesn't work.
Morning!
Morning!
Oh, it's nice to see you lot here. We missed you yesterday.
Thank you. We had a lovely day, though.
Was it good in Carlisle?
We had a lovely time.
It sounded like you did, and everyone was so excited there.
Yeah, and also, just when you announced the acts for the first time, the kids were like, whoa, it's amazing.
There's a lot of screaming going on.
Oh, yeah.
But it's huge news. There's just so many great people performing in Carlisle.
The lineup is insane. I can't believe it.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, obviously, a band who are performing at the big weekend, who I've also done a live lounge with, are My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
And we'll narrow it down slightly, Scott.
Hmm.
I can tell you now that the mystery cover is not LAX, Rachel Stevens. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to break it to you. It's not Sonique either. So
Sonique.
There's just a couple of things that it's not.
Okay.
But it's a song that you'll go, really? I wasn't expecting it. It's a real good cover.
Excellent.
Real good cover.
Justin in Burton thinks he knows what it is.
What does he think?
Home and Away.
Oh, I thought it was the Neighbours theme tune then, right? Oh. Okay.
Because this is one where you'd think, really?
Really?
But you can kind of imagine My Chemical Romance doing it, you can.
They might like Australian soaps. I don't know.
Is it this?
I'll dangle the carrot and say might be.
Oh, it might be.
Might
be.
Could be.
That's probably a yes.
It could be an Australian theme tune. Amazing. That's what it could be. This is amazing.
Well, we might as well. Now we're playing it, we might as well hear the chorus.
Yeah, okay, right, ready?
Okay, here we go.
You are there, everybody!
I can't go that high. Oh, it's air. Forever. With some guitars over it. Wow!
Home and away.
How about a wow? That sort of thing.
Have a lovely day.
It could be. Scott, I love you.
Love you.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.